Ashkenazi Herbalism, Rediscovering the Herbal Traditions of Eastern European Jews, by Dietra Cohen and Adam Siegel. Narrated by Adam Siegel. Published by North Atlantic Books. Illustrations and appendices can be found in the PDF that comes with this audiobook. The following information is intended for general information purposes only. Individuals should always see their healthcare provider before administering any suggestions made in this book. Any application of the material set forth in the following is at the listener's discretion and is their sole responsibility. This book is dedicated to Jerome Siegel, 1933 to 2020. Preface. On the surface, herbalism, or herbal medicine, seems a simple enough concept. It's the reliance upon plant medicine to heal a body from dis-ease, with an eye toward returning that body to its natural state of balance. But herbalism is a much more complex practice than one might assume. According to the American Herbalist Guild, herbal medicine is the art and science of using herbs for promoting health and preventing and treating illness. It has persisted as the world's primary form of medicine since the beginning of time, with a written history more than 5,000 years old. While the use of herbs in America has been overshadowed by dependence on modern medications in the last 100 years, 75% of the world's population still rely primarily upon traditional healing practices, most of which is herbal medicine. Human reliance on the medicinal properties of plants is ancient and worldwide, but as universal as our connection may be, our ways of working with the plants can vary. One reason for this is environmental. Every part of Earth is distinct, with its own indigenous fauna and flora that are each dependent on their unique natural surroundings and each other. The plants and animals that settle and evolve in one region become accustomed to that region's local weather conditions, soil composition, and all the other organisms and creatures with whom they share their habitat. In this way, for example, native peoples living near the equator are familiar with completely different circumstances than those who call the Arctic home. These two distinct ecosystems provide very different life experiences and challenges for the humans and other living organisms who settle there. But humans are not the only ones who endure the conditions of our domains. Plants also need to maintain vitality within the dynamic conditions of their environment. To overcome the hardships they've encountered, plants have learned how best to persist in the face of environmental adversity. It's these verdant secrets of survival that have drawn humans and other organisms to the flora that flourish in our midst. Through our contacts with the plant world, we've learned not only how to survive over countless generations, but also how to thrive on this tumultuous planet we call home. When I began studying herbalism, the program where I was enrolled encouraged students to get to know our own ancestral healing practices. This idea isn't unique to any particular herbal school. Most, if not all, herbalists are curious about their own ancestors' traditional practices and often look there for inspiration and guidance. When you consider our ancestors' relationship with plants for healing and sustenance over thousands of years, it makes sense that our bodies, on a physical level, at the very least, would have traces of the essences that contributed so much to our well-being. In fact, humans have relied on plants for almost all of our basic needs: food, drink, housing, utensils, tools, clothing, energy, companionship, warmth. Plants have even been the subject of some of our most memorable stories. Who doesn't remember the three magic beans that grew overnight into the stalk Jack climbed up into the clouds to find the giant? Or, In more contemporary literature, the endless sea of red poppies that lulled Dorothy and her friends into sleep on their way to see the wizard. We've had a long and intimate relationship with the plant world, and whether our minds are conscious of it or not, our bodies seem to remember more than they let on. Examples of stored memories might come in the form of an allergic reaction to strawberries or peanuts, salivation in response to the taste of any bitter herb, or, in my case, a vaporous memory conjured in my 40s when I experienced the scent of a linden tree in bloom for the first time. To my knowledge, I'd never come across this kind of tree before, and yet as soon as I was aware of its fragrance, I felt like I'd come home. On a purely visceral level, we're already familiar with many of the plants we encounter, and our individual interactions with them are based on long-forgotten connections waiting to be reawakened. Having been a professional librarian for many years, I was looking forward to researching what I assumed would be a good-sized collection of resources devoted to the medicinal plant knowledge of the people I call my ancestors. Both sides of my family are Ashkenazi from the Pale of Settlement. My father's family emigrated to the United States and Canada in the early 20th century from what today is Ukraine, specifically the cities of Kiev and Cherkasy. Both of my mother's parents were from the same region of Poland. One branch of that family can be traced back to their town's founding in the early 18th century, where they stayed put until the outbreak of the Second World War. One might assume that Ashkenazim, who have a well-documented history in Eastern Europe's Pale of Settlement, the Pale, dating at least as far back as the Middle Ages, would have an exhaustive and distinguished canon dedicated to their healing practices, which would, no doubt, include the reliance upon plant medicine. But that assumption couldn't be further from the truth. Once I started my research, I was at first surprised and then shocked at the complete absence of any information whatsoever on herbalism in any Ashkenazi communities of the Pale. And I wasn't alone in my discovery, or lack thereof. A few other students in my class who were of similar background also came up empty-handed. Out of frustration, one of us joked, "Well, at least we have chicken soup." She was just as amazed as I that there was literally nothing else to be found. But she consoled herself with the belief that, of course, older generations had relied on plant medicine. And if they hadn't, it was probably because of religious restrictions. I mulled all this over. Even though I hadn't been raised religiously and know next to nothing about Judaism, it seemed doubtful that any religion, no matter how strict, would keep the people from taking care of themselves. What little I did know was that the Jews had endured countless hardships and, despite these, had survived for thousands of years. There must have been a little bit of help from the natural world they lived in, and this would have included any medicinal plants in the vicinity. Falling back on my librarian roots, I figured someone, somewhere, in the last century must have conducted an ethnobotanical study of the Ashkenazi people of the Pale. It seemed natural that an objective third party would have facilitated a basic survey of such a well-known population. But even a thorough search of the ethnobotanical literature proved fruitless. Information I assumed would be abundant was non-existent. My husband, who speaks and reads multiple languages, many of them relevant for this research, foraged through multiple sources of every possible linguistic angle regarding the subject. It eventually became undeniably clear that not only was an ethnobotanical survey of Eastern Europe's Ashkenazim non-existent, but there was next to nothing published describing the healers themselves, who would have applied the medicinal plant knowledge. I could not accept this turn of events. For better or worse, my past profession dogged me, and I became more relentless in my mission to find evidence of Ashkenazi herbalism. Was this the ancestors urging me on? Who knows? But I do know that I didn't want to feel like an herbal interloper, forever having to refer to other people's traditions, never knowing what plant knowledge my own grandparents had relied on. I was certain that if I continued searching, I would eventually stumble on some
Sample complete. Ready to continue?